And what a name, what a name, what a name, what a name.
It's the only name given amongst men
by which you can be saved. Lots of other names. But he got his name. We talked about that. We'll go back and finish that series as well. He obtained his name by defeating hell on his own turf. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Amen. So we trust that he will take his word and particularly customize it for you. Amen. To speak through me to you and says things to you that I'm not even saying. Amen. He can do that. He knows exactly where you are, and you are exactly in the right place listening to his word. And so he'll do the rest. I trust that. All right, I want to talk to you on the subject matter, acts of evil and human disasters. We've seen a few of them lately. You know, the Bible is a very relevant book. And so whatever is going on, whatever is happening, there are principles in his word by which you can be guided. And I believe led to talk about, touch on a little bit, but, you know, we'll dig in a little deeper. Acts of evil, when things happen and so forth, human disasters, and people say, "Boy, I wish there was something we could do about them." Well, guess what? There is. Hallelujah. God hasn't left us down here victims. Glory to God. We're victors. Bible says we're more than conquerors through him who loved us. Hallelujah. So there is. But first of all, let's talk about why is it we have acts of evil. What about natural disasters? Well, the bottom line answer is because we have evil because we have the devil. The devil is evil for a reason. He's directly or indirectly behind it all. Look at John 10:10. Jesus made it quite plain for us. Very, very plain for us. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. I know you know it, but it's good to put our eyes on God's word. The thief. You know who that is, do you not? The thief cometh not. This is the only reason why he comes. My goodness. But to steal and to kill and to destroy. That's his mission. He comes to do nothing else but to steal, to kill, to destroy. And you know, those things are listed in progression. He has to steal the word of God from you before he can kill you or destroy you or any part of your life. So that's put there in progression. If he can't steal your joy, Brother Jerusalem used to say, "Bless his eyes in heaven right now." If the devil can steal your joy, he can't keep your goods. My goodness. You say, "Goods? Has he got some of my goods? Where have you been?" You don't know that the devil's got a bunch of your goods? Wake up. Wakey, wakey. What do you think they call him the thief for? Oh, just read it. Right? What does the thief do? Steals. And he didn't come to existence yesterday. So you know he's been doing some thieving for a while. Yeah. He's got some of your goods. Oh yeah. Your health, you know, your family member, your money, your peace, your joy. He's a thief. That's all he comes to do. He has to steal. But the first thing he wants to do is steal the word out of your heart. Put your finger there. Look at Mark chapter 4. Let's go over there. I didn't plan to go there, but, you know, I've just been led to go there.
Mark chapter 4, you know this, the parable of the sower. Mark 4, look at verse 14. The sower soweth the word. That's primary. Always, always, always. Everything flows from the word. We know if something is wrong or right by the word. That's the measuring stick, the standard. The sower soweth the word, and these are they by the wayside, where the word is sown, but when they have heard, when they have heard the word, Satan cometh immediately. Huh? He doesn't even give, he doesn't want the word to have any chance to take root to your heart. Because if it does, you are going to begin to resist him and begin to take back some of the stuff he's stolen from you. So he comes immediately. Ah. Ma. And take it away the word. That's what he came for. Huh? Persecution, if you read the rest of this, persecution arises for the word's sake. Not because, you know, he's jealous of you. No. He doesn't want you having the word. Doesn't want the word to incubate in your heart. And you should start to believe it. And then to act on it. And get the results that flow from it. He doesn't want that. So he comes immediately to steal it from you. Thief coming now. Go back to John 10:10. But for steal, kill, and destroy. So everything that steals and kills and destroys came from the devil. Directly or indirectly. You know, that debate again, debates these days and talk about, you know, binary this and binary. Did you know the spirit world is a binary world? It is. There's God, then there's the devil. That's it. It is very binary. There's God, and then there's the devil. If it's good, if it brings life, and it more abundantly, it came from God. If he's stealing and killing and destroying, it came from the devil. That's it. And as men, capital M, which means applies to both genders, we are yielding to one or the other all day long, every day. You're not a sovereign being. Yes, you have to be subject to one or the other. And so all evil, all that destroys, all acts of evil come from the devil, because the devil is evil. We're all not getting mixed up at all. Somebody said, well, you know, if I hadn't broken my leg in that accident and ended up in the hospital, I wouldn't have met that Holy Ghost nurse who witnessed to me and got me born again. So God must have, no, you got it wrong. You got it. No, God had nothing to do with breaking your leg. When I'm like you disobeyed me, is why you ended up breaking your leg. Huh? I have come that you may have life. Does that sound like having life when you broke your leg? And have it more abundantly. No, God took advantage of the situation. Amen. And so acts of evil and human and natural disasters have one origin, directly or indirectly, from the devil. In fact, here's what some translations say about to have life more abundantly. To have life, I've come that you may have life and have it to the full until it overflows. Glory to God. You remember Jesus saying, give shall be given to you, good and bad your presence. Slow down. And running over. I think we're making mistakes. So many of us believers. When you get to where life is good, and you know, you can see your life for the next 10, 15, 20, 25 years until you retire. You got your retirement thing here, then. we have a tendency, we call ourselves word of faith, but we stop using our faith. We become cruismatics. We're just cruising on faith. We're just trying to maintain it. But you know there's no such a thing. With faith, if you're not taking territory, guess what? You're losing territory. Faith doesn't stand still. Amen. So just because you got stuff set up and so forth, I got no time to release. What about folks who don't have stuff set up? God wants to use you. We're talking about the overflow. Huh? Full until it overflows. That overflow is supposed to continue to overflow. You know, a river can overflow its banks for 100 yards or 200 yards or a mile or 10 miles, right? Oh yeah, that overflow can just keep going. God wants you to just keep overflowing to more and more and more and more people. But no, we get to where we become selfish. Well, you know, I've got my deal set up. Let me go get yours.
That's why you shouldn't downsize. Glory to God. Ooh, glory. Until it overflows. So here's a dramatic example of how the devil messes things up. We're talking about acts of evil and natural disasters, their origin. We ought not be confused about those things. Is there something we can do about them? Oh, yes. We are victors, not victims of anything. Anything. Economic, social, medical, psychological, spiritual, you name it, we are not victims. Book of Mark chapter 4. Jesus has been teaching all day long, working hard. Nobody worked harder than him. My. Verse 35. And the same day, when the evening was come, so it's evening now, he's working all day. But there's yet one more thing to do before we can call it a day. So it tells them, let's pass over to the other side of the Galilee. And so you know what happens. So he decides, okay, while they're doing that, I'm going to take a little nap. Because, I'm working all day long. I'm a little tired here. I'm going to take a nap. And you know what happened? They wake him up because of the storm. Now, the Galilee, even today, is known for sudden outbursts of wind and all that. But this was different. This was different. The devil engineered this. You know what his intent was? To kill Jesus and the disciples. To drown them. That's why the boat was filling up with water. He wanted to drown them. He tried to kill Jesus many times. Tried to get him to commit suicide. Remember that? Took him up there and said, jump down. The angels will catch you. That was the intent. Why? Because there was a fellow on the other side of the Galilee. That was his mission. Who had been crying out for deliverance. And the devil was trying to stop Jesus from getting over there. We talk about acts of evil and natural disasters. And so then we go to chapter number 5. You know what happened? Jesus got up and rebuked that wind and word. And the Amplifier said, he said, hush up. I like that. Hey you, hush up. My goodness. That's a man who knew his authority. And a man who has given to us that exact same authority. We're not using it. Too many of us are not using it. We act like we're victims. Things come along and this and that and the other. My goodness. Act like mere men, scripture says. Instead of men who have been redeemed. So chapter 5, he encounters this man who had been, my goodness, possessed.
devils. Crazy, literally crazy.
Verse 1, chapter 5. And they came over the other side unto the country of the Gadarenes, and went. And this is the project. This is the reason why he said, let's go over the other side. And when he was come out of the sheep, immediately they made him a man on the tombs. He came running. He sensed that his deliverance was here. The devil can't take you so far away from God that you have no way back. He can't do that. If he could, he would, but he cannot. So even this man, as demonized as he was still able to come rushing to Jesus. And he tells us about how that they bound him with fetters and chains, and they just couldn't keep him. This was God was uncontrollable. How come? Them devils in him. And he tore the chains off. Was cutting himself. Why would anybody cut themselves? Demon activity. Suggestions from the devil. That's why. And I think in church generally, we're so into motivational teaching and preaching these days, we don't talk enough about the realm of the spirit, especially the evil realm of the spirit. Not in this church. Verse 4, because that he had been often bound with fetters and chains, and the chains had been plucked asunder by him, and the fetters broken in pieces, and neither could any man tame him. He was supernaturally endowed with demonic power. You remember Samson, do you not? He was supernaturally endowed with divine God power. Here's a man who had divine, who had supernatural demonic power. Two realms. There are people who are supernaturally anointed by the devil. Did you know that? Oh yeah. To do his bidding. Hitler was supernaturally anointed by the devil. Oh yeah. He was. So he came to Jesus, worshipped him, okay, and then the devils took over, so they're talking to Jesus. And you know what happened. He delivered, you got the guy delivered. And the Bible says in verse number 15, and they come to Jesus and see him that was possessed with the devil and had the legion sitting and clothed in his right mind. And they were afraid. Instead of rejoicing, they were afraid. I skipped this, but you know, you've read this story. The Bible tells us look at verse number, Jesus talked to the head demon that was in there. Verse number 9. And he asked him, what is your name? He answered, saying, my name is Legion, for we are many. And he besought him much that he would not send him away from the country and so forth. In verse 12, and all the devils besought him, saying, send us. And the four with Jesus gave him leave. The unclean spirits went out and entered into the swine. And the herd ran violently down the steep into the sea. And there were about 2,000. 2,000 swine. If you assume it was one devil per swine, so this guy had 2,000 demons. There's only one devil. Sometimes you use the words interchangeably. Only one devil, a whole bunch of demons that he controls. My goodness. That's what was messing the guy up. This was not psychological. This was not mental. This was spiritual. And I've said it, I'll say it again. Too many of the cases, not all of them,
too many of the cases that we talk about, you know, mental health, we're actually dealing with devils. Don't know it. Demons don't know it. When somebody's cutting their skin, that's a demon. That's not just some mental stuff. Amen. And if we assume that that's just a mental thing and deal with the mentality, we are not even scratching the surface of it.
My. So, acts of evil come from the devil. The terrorists of New Orleans. You remember recently. The guy who plowed his car through a crowd of people. My goodness. What would make you do that? Anybody do that? I mean, we don't even want to run over deer or squirrel, you know? Squirrel is good, you're trying to slow down so the squirrel can go past. Why would make you plow through a group of human beings? A devil would make you do that. Demons would. That's what that was. In fact, this fellow said, we're told initially he targeted his own family. Think about it. It's one thing to plow your car through a group of people, but you're going to kill your own family? What would make you do that? A demon would. Not some mental health. It's a demon. And suddenly he messes your mind, of course. But that's where it starts. So he decided, you know, he was going to talk to his family, but then he thought that would make it wouldn't make much of a splash. I'm putting that in my words. Mm-hmm. We're told, he said, it would not be reported as a fight between believers and unbelievers. So he thinks he's a warrior. The demon deceived him into thinking he was doing something good. He's a warrior. This is a battle plan. Imagine that. The work of a demon got him all deceived. He wouldn't have much of a splash. They would report it as a family problems or something. So let me not talk to my family. Let me go get some strangers. That way you'll have a bigger splash and all of that. That's what he was thinking. So then he changed his mind and decided instead to go plow through a crowd in New Orleans. I wonder what changed his mind. Think about it. That's where we come in as victors, not victims. Is it possible that a family member is born again and pled the blood of Jesus, not even knowing why they were doing it? Don't you for a minute think he just suddenly on his own decided, I'm going to go to New Orleans instead. I'll leave my family alone. I'll go to New Orleans instead. Don't you dare think he just decided to do that. Any more than this business about taking his family out was actually just his own thinking. If we were to know the whole entire story, somebody got in the middle of his plan to kill his family is why he decided on this other plan. My goodness. Maybe a member, a family member, a believer, pleading the blood of Jesus. And so next time you're walking the mall, maybe some demon-possessed person was planning to blow it up. You can change it. That's the point about this teaching. You are not a victim. You are the victor. You can change it. Not on this day. I'm in the mall. All of these folks in here are safe with me. Because I happen to be in the mall.
I'm a child of the King. I have security detail. Can't see them, but I do. Glory to God. I know. That's your privilege. I won't be surprised if that's what happened here. A family member pleaded the blood of Jesus. Caused him to suddenly think, maybe not. Maybe somebody pleaded the 91st Psalm. Remember the 91st Psalm? Hallelujah. Dwelling in the secret place of the Almighty. Safe. With long life, I will satisfy him and show him my salvation. I won't be surprised at all. So the question then would be, well, how come that didn't help the folks in New Orleans? Well, that's a good question. And we'll talk about that in a minute. How come it didn't help the folks in New Orleans? And then there was the other guy, the deluded guy, outside Trump Hotel in Las Vegas. And here's what the statement he left. He blew himself up in a Tesla truck, I think. Explosives, and just in there, and just detonated and just blew himself up. What would make anybody do that? They're not just messed up in their mind. The real root of it is demonic activity. Got them so deceived. Now, look at what he said. My goodness. It's not funny, but it's... Here's what he said. Let them know. This was not a terrorist attack. Who do you think told him that? The demon. Here's what you write. The demon dictated this note to this guy. And he thought he was the originator of it. I just told you, you're not a servant. You're always acting in line with God's plan or in line with the devil's plan. You do get to choose which side you're going to go. That you have a right to. You do have a right to do that. But you can't create a third way. There's not no third. There ain't no third way. He said, this was not a terrorist attack. It was a wake-up call. Oh, a wake-up call. How come you didn't stick around to hear it? Think about it. This is a wake-up call. I'm going to blow myself up to give you guys a wake-up call. Clearly, this is beyond this guy. He says, Americans only pay attention to spectacles and violence. So I'm going to give you a spectacle by killing myself. Demonic activity suggestions that seem to make a lot of sense. It made a lot of sense to this guy to do this. He says, what better way? I'm quoting him now. According to the authorities, it's what he said. What better way to get my point across? What better way? I mean, when up becomes down and down becomes up, you know something seriously wrong. What better way to get my point across than a stunt? I'm quoting him. With fireworks and explosives. A stunt. He says, quote, why did I personally do it now? I mean, can you see this guy writing this and thinking he is so organized and so smart about it and so reasonable, and he's making a cogent statement, and the whole time he's been dictated to by a demon he doesn't even know. Doesn't even know. Remember now, a thief has to employ stealth. Huh? No. The better a thief, the thief is, the more stealthy he is. Cunning. Slipping by blind side so you never know. So this guy had no idea where these thoughts were coming from. Well, I was saying that, so you would know. So you would know. If you start hearing stuff like that, you know, oh, whoa. I have just tuned over to the devil's FM. Blow myself up to create a spectacle and have a stunt. No, not me. What did I personally do it now? I needed, and here's when we get down to the bottom line, right? I needed to cleanse my mind. I wonder how the mind got dirty. Guilt. I needed to cleanse my mind of the brothers I've lost. This guy was a ex-military. Went through trauma, no doubt. Folks that had hugged that morning, talked to them before the day was out, saw them blown away. Maybe brains blown out. No joke. Serious trauma. And so the devil tells him, here's the way to just cleanse all of that out of your mind. By making sure your mind is blown away. It says, what better way? It says, I needed to cleanse my mind of the brothers I've lost and to relieve myself of the burden of the lives I took. This was a reasoning that demon gave him. Guilt. Guilt feeling. No doubt, conditions of war are brutal, right? But there are rules of war. Now, if you torture folks and you conduct yourself in such a way as that violates the rules of war, then, you know, you have some things to repent of. Not blow yourself up about, but repent of. One of the rules of war, of course, you kill or get killed. You're carrying a gun for a reason. And so if you kill, by the way, that's why we don't call that murder, right? It's killing, not murder. There's a difference. Kill or get killed, if you kill somebody who is about to take you out, take your fellow soldiers out, This is the rules of law of war. But see, the devil then takes that because what happened to my friends and fellows was so awful. Then it must be that what we're doing, it must be bad, and I participated in it. Oh, woe is me! And oh, I'm such a bad person. This is what that demon is telling the soldiers. This ex-military folk. And that guilt overwhelms them. And they don't know anything, don't know how to deal with it. And so this demon convinced this person that was the way to deal with that. In this case, of course, he only took his own life, but it could have been worse. The demon could have told him to take a whole bunch of folks along with him. Demonic activity. Relieve myself of the burden of the lives I took. So we call this PTSD, right? Post-traumatic, you know, so forth. It's really guilt. That's what it is, guilt. And beyond that, the spirit of condemnation. That's the bottom line. I call this condemnation plus. Because it's one thing to do something wrong and mess up and feel guilty about it and receive forgiveness, okay? And then stop the spirit of condemnation to cause you to wallow in it. That's one thing. If you're a soldier, listen to me, soldier. If you're sent to the battleground to do a job, if you abide by the rules of war You don't torture your captives and so forth. You have nothing to be guilty about. Nothing. Absolutely nothing. It was either you killed, or you got killed, or your fellow people around you got killed. That is the rule of war. That is your job. Don't let the devil deceive you, some demon deceive you, thinking, you know, I must be a bad person because look what I killed people. Now, you know, again, if you didn't violate the rules of war, you have no reason to feel guilty about doing your job. Now, here's what the demon doesn't tell you. Tell this guy. Doesn't tell you that the people you took out were planning to massacre who knows how many hundreds and thousands of people. Innocent. They did nothing to them. You stood in the way of those people being alive. I mean, that's a noble thing to do, actually. Amen. But no, the devil will try to convince you that, you know, you're horrible. You kill people. You kill, look at all these people you killed, this and that and the other. Look at all the people. Again, I'll say it again because this is a big deal. This is the bottom line of what we call PTSD. Guilt brought upon ex-military folks to cause them to think that doing their job, again, assuming you didn't butcher anybody, engage in all kinds of ungodly stuff, you know, unlawful stuff, to cause them to think that doing their job somehow makes them a horrible human being. To the point in this case, this man's case, he decided, I'm just going to take my life. I'm going to relieve myself of the burden. So in that case, it's condemnation plus. Because you didn't do anything wrong to be condemned about, but here comes condemnation anyway. Look at Romans chapter 8. Romans 8. And this is, So chapter 7, the latter part, Paul is talking about, oh, I want to do right, but I don't always do it. I mean to, but I don't. And I just mess up and again, oh, what wretched man, what am I going to do about all this? So he's in that zone himself. And this is how we get to chapter 8, verse 1. There is therefore now no condemnation. After you've repented, you've received your forgiveness, there is therefore now no condemnation. Amen. To them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh. You say, now what does that mean? By receiving your forgiveness, that was an act of walking in the Spirit. Don't take that too deeper than it is. Every time you move towards God, you're walking in the Spirit. But after the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in the anointed one Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. If this fellow knew that, he could have thrown his condemnation off him. He could have. This is how to cleanse your mind. This is how you cleanse your mind. This is how you relieve yourself of the burden of guilt. Even when you're guilty, much less when you're simply out there doing your job. The demon wouldn't tell you that. You've done so much damage, the least you can do is just take yourself out. That's what he told him. So we can say no to the devil. Okay, so no to the devil. This is the same demon of condemnation that talked Judas into committing suicide. Oh yeah. Yeah, what you did is so bad, so terrible. Even though you returned the money, you just end your life. You're worthless. Piece of crap. Just end it. As if that changed anything. As if that changed anything. Wouldn't it have been better had he gone and found Mary, the mother of Jesus, and said, Mother Mary, I don't even know how to say it. I don't know what got a hold of me to betray my master, who trusted me, and so forth. Wouldn't it have been better had he gone to the meeting of the disciples and said, folks, I know I don't belong here anymore. What I did was so bad, but please, can you find it within yourselves to forgive me? That would have done much more good than go kill himself. But the devil told him, go, you will wash out. Just go do it. Act of evil. Act of evil. We can't say no to the devil. Ooh, glory. Amen. Amen. Look at 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians chapter number 10. The thief cometh not but for to steal, to kill, and to destroy. How does he do it? He talks you into it. He can't just barge in there and do damage. He's got to talk you into it. Thoughts. Suggestions. 2 Corinthians chapter 10 verse 4. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal. So we have weapons. Whoo, glory. But mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. What is a stronghold? A stronghold, I'm reading my notes here, a demonically induced pattern of thinking. Thinking. That's where it all starts, with your thinking. As a man thinketh, so he is. He has to get a hold of your thinking. You have never hardly said anything or done anything until you thought about it first. You say, now, well, what about what people do to you on the spur of the moment? Hey, the second before that, you did think about it. Difference is, you didn't think about it much. That's the difference. Spur of the moment doesn't mean you didn't think about it at all. It means your thought about it was in a fleeting second. You have never done anything, said anything that you didn't first think about it. Starts in the thoughts. So the devil endeavors to get a hold of your thinking and sway it in his direction. A demonically induced pattern of thinking produced by suggestions. That's it. A temptation is nothing but a suggestion. Have you figured that out yet? That's all it is. Why don't you? A suggestion. That's all he can do. He can't make you do anything. He can only suggest. He can only make you an offer that you should refuse. But that's where he has to start. He doesn't have any power of his own. Did you know that?
Yes.
If the devil did anything to you, chances are he used your own power against you. This is why we talk about words so much. He's got to get you to talk words that are anti-you for him to do to you what you don't really want anyway, but you kept talking about it. I'm about to lose my knee. 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 You said that 15,000 times and one day you do lose your knee. How come it doesn't happen the first time? He is smarter than that. Remember now, he's got to be stealthy. If it happened immediately, you would know that. Not only that, you would tell everybody you know. Don't you say that, because I said that, whoa, my something hit my knee and here I am. He can't afford that. So he fires it away, and then one day he does it. And you would say, I knew all the time. Didn't I tell you my knee was full? Never knowing that the whole time you brought it on yourself. You could have kept saying, my knee is healed. My knee is healed. My knee is healed. I apply the blood. I apply the blood. I apply the blood. I apply the blood. You could have said that just as easy as the other. Thoughts, suggestions. Spiritual warfare in the mental arena. That's what it is. Its root is spiritual. But the place is the mind. Especially if you're born again. He can't deal with you down there. Huh? So he migrates your mind. And see if he can get you to nullify the forces of life flowing out of your spirit. Designed to get that need to behave if you say so. But see, he will nullify that and twist. You know wicker? Wicker furniture is twisted furniture. Wicker, wicked. So that's what it's good at. Twisting good to be bad. God gave us the ability to speak words so as to create our universes like he created it. Instead of that, too many of us, even believers, are abusing the power of words and creating things that we don't want by creating them anyway. Shooting ourselves in the foot. We have power if we use it. We have weapons if we use them. One of those weapons is the power of words. But instead, the devil seeks to create strongholds, a fort constructed by thoughts. Think about that. A fort, like a defensive fort that is constructed by thoughts. Weeks and months and years of thoughts, a certain pattern of thinking. Grandpa died at 60. Uncle so-and-so died at 60. You know, and so-and-so died at 60. I guess I'm going to die at 62. And people say that, they say it, and then, like I said, they say, didn't I tell you? I guess it's my time to die. There's not a time except for you to die. Long life, I'll satisfy you. Amen. And show you my salvation. So, well, weapons enable us, verse 5, to cast down those thoughts, those suggestions. So, nope, devil, I'm not losing my knee. In fact, my knee is being reinvigorated as we speak. I apply the blood of Jesus to my knee. Woo, the ointment, the balm of Gilead, the Bible says. It's soothing my knee right now as I speak. It's getting stronger and stronger, getting recreated. Knee surgery, not necessary. Woo, I'm doing surgery right now. Amen. That's what I do. Any slightest bit of, no, devil, I'm redeemed. I'm redeemed. Amen. Hallelujah. We can cast down. We can tell the devil, no, I'm not doing that. I'm not cutting myself. I'm not blowing myself up to make some kind of stunt. What kind of stunt? You blow yourself up if you want a stunt. In fact, shut up and get away from me now. In the name of Jesus. We can say no to the devil. We're not victims. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Casting down imaginations, unscriptural, vain words. One translation says, you should interrogate that thought and incarcerate it. That ungodly thought. And everything that exalts itself above what God said, bring it down to captivity. Take it captive. Take the thought captive. Take the suggestion captive. Nope. Not doing that. Not saying that. Remember now, you can't battle thoughts with thoughts. Never. You won't win. You battle thoughts with words. If you're by yourself, you speak it out loud. If you're not, you just mumble it, but you say something. You battle thoughts with words. The mind is a battlefield. And the devil has suggestions for you every day about what to do, what not to do, what to say, where to go. All kinds of suggestions. That's all they are. They are suggestions. Unless you accept them. Mm-hmm. Which you don't have to. God is also making all kinds of suggestions. Amen. For example, he suggested you come to church this morning. You did. You agreed to it and get up and came. Who knows? The devil may have told you, well, you know, it's cold, rainy. He might have tried to tell you not to. Anyway, suggestions. But thank God we have a choice we can make. Now, I'm not suggesting every time you stay away from church, that's the devil. I'm not saying that, though. No. See, he probably tried to tell you about that. I make my point. I rest my case. That's it. Look at James. James 3. Thank you, Lord. James chapter 3. Look at verse number 15. Did you know there are two types of wisdom? Oh, yeah. Two types of wisdom. I'm just going to read that one verse. You can read the context of it. This wisdom. And he's talking about the strife and bitter envy and all of that. That applies to across the board, all sorts of things. This wisdom descends not from above, but it is earthly, it is sensual, meaning it's of the senses. That is, this wisdom is based on what you can see, what you can taste, what you can hear, what you can smell, what you can feel. That's it. It's not based on God's word. It's not based on thus saith the Lord. It's sensual, based on the senses. And it is devilish. It has a demonic root, which might be very camouflaged. Oh, Jesus. Okay. Just somebody said something there. If you're a believer and you don't tithe, Jesus, you are operating on that wisdom. Because here's what you're thinking. I don't have enough to begin with. If I give God a tenth, what am I going to do? How am I going to get groceries? How am I going to pay my light bill? How am I? They're going to take my car. I'm going to lose my house. You see that? That's a wisdom. That is a wisdom. That is a wisdom. And that's why you're not a tithe. Because you're operating in sensual wisdom that has demonic origin. I know that's just a strong word, but I wasn't even talking about that. You know that. But I got prompted. And see, so see that, see, I got a suggestion. I'm just illustrating my teaching. I got a suggestion from God. Say this. And I got another counter suggestion. No, don't go there. I'm just telling you what happened as I speak to you. Don't go there. You're doing good talking about anything but money. Just. And I had to obey. I had to decide, am I going to please him or please you? This is life. But that's the kind of wisdom. It's the kind of wisdom. But then you take the same subject matter, you think, hey, little is much if I put it in God's hands. Amen. I can do more with a 90 if I give God a 10 than I could do with a 100. See, that's a kind of wisdom that descends from above.
Oh, my. I didn't even think of that. But that's it.
And it's all about suggestions. All about suggestions. And line of thinking. You're thinking.
And you talk to anybody who tithes, they know this stuff works.
This is not religion. This is not pastor saying it works.
Two types of wisdoms. All right. So the time we have left, let's talk about natural disasters. So far, we talk about acts of evil,
natural disasters.
I wish there was something we could do about it.
There is. Absolutely there is.
We think of the California fires.
Oh, man.
Schools getting burned down. Homes getting burned down. Churches. Now, you know that can't be God, right?
When churches start getting burned down,
God's in the business of building churches, not tearing them down. Natural disasters. And so for the most part, people who don't know the word,
even Christians don't know the word, keep them in your thoughts and prayers. What does that mean? What thoughts? What prayers? And very often when people say that, that's it right there. That's all they meant. Keep them in thoughts and prayers. We're just praying.
We can do more than that. Those of us who are believing believers, did you know that? A bunch of unbelieving believers?
Oh yeah. Too many unbelieving believers. They believe in Jesus, but, you know, don't know much else. About anything.
If you're a believing believer, look at Genesis chapter 1. You know you are not a victim. Whoo, glory. You are a victim. Now, by the way, you know natural disasters don't come from God. Because when he created the universe, if you look at Genesis chapter 1, verse 31. He looked at everything. Well, you know that every time he created something, he stopped and examined it. He said it was good. And at the very end of it, he looked at it and he said it was very good. Now, when God says something is very good, it's not like you or me saying something's very good. Only because we didn't know that there was a rotten part of it. You know what I'm saying? As far as you could tell, it's very good. But you didn't see that other part. But he knows everything. So when he says something is very good, you and I will be like, oh, 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 look at that. Wow.
And so how do you get earthquakes and fires and that consume houses and all that? How do you get it from very good?
It can't come from me. Can't come from me. Genesis chapter 1, look at verse number 26. And God said, let us make man. That should be capitalized. And it becomes quite clear as you read here. Should be capital M. This is referring to both genders. Let us make man in our image. None of this other stuff has been our image, but the time has come to up the ante.
Come to God.
Woo! To create a special species of beings. Who we're going to put in charge of everything we just created. They're going to be the HNICs. Amen.
made man in our image, after our likeness. Make him to look like us. And let them have dominion. That's what I've been talking about. Having dominion. My goodness. The ability to dominate and to dictate and to control and to issue decrees and to reign like a king. Did you notice that the U.S. president doesn't rule? Huh? I don't care who the president, they don't rule. We know what they do. They govern. There's a big difference. The king of Saudi Arabia rules. Huh? Oh yeah. Kings rule. They don't govern. They rule. That means you can make laws as you go. Kings rule. They don't govern. Presidents and prime ministers and mayors govern. Somebody else sets the rules and they got to go by that. Not a king. A king is the constitution. Oh yeah, a king is the constitution. The queen made up the constitution by themselves and they get to execute it. And they are also the Supreme Court. In case there are any disagreements about what they mean. My goodness, that's what it means to have dominion. My goodness. Let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the fowl of the air, over the cattle, over all the earth. That covers it all. It covers everything that you can list. You can't list everything. Over all the earth covers it all. And over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. So God created man, capital M, in his own image. In the image of God created he him. And then makes it plain. Male and female man. Huh? Remember now. God never called a female man Eve. That's the name Adam gave him. God called her Adam just as much as Adam, Adam. He called her Eve. Male and female created he them. So then when he said man, he was referring to both of them. He gave both of them authority. Verse 28. And God blessed them. You know what that means? He empowered them. That's what blessing is. He empowered them to have the dominion he just gave them. Over all the earth. And over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. So God created man, capital M, in his own image, in the image of God, created him, male and female, created he them. God blessed them and said unto them, be fruitful, multiply, replenish the earth, and subdue it. Ooh, subdue it. Put it under your foot, under your tongue. Subdue it. I empower you to do it. You have dominion to subdue this earth. Everything I created. I tell you what, if a scientist would pay God any attention, if they had paid God any attention, human beings have already been living on Mars. Not trying to get there. They've already been living on Mars. The spiritual technology to have cell phones existed way back in the year 1400 and beyond. Amen. You remember? Glory to God. Oh, my time is up. You remember when Peter was about to be killed the following day and the angels were sent to wake him up? Do you remember that the Bible says when they went to the gate, that the gate opened on itself? Woo! And you thought it was something when you walked to HEB and HEB doors open. I'm telling you, God's way ahead of us. Spirit technology. My goodness. Humans would already be on Mars. That's why we have a yearning to go over there. We were supposed to be able to conquer the thing long ago. But we haven't paid God any attention. I'll give you one more and then we'll go. You know how they, you've seen it, everybody's seen it. How the rockets take off. NASA rockets or, you know, Elon Musk's rockets. You know how they take off with a whole bunch of fanfare. My goodness, those engines. And there's just fume and dust and everywhere for I don't know how many miles. You remember how Jesus resurrected, right? Woo, glory! He's talking to them, gives them last instructions, and he just takes up. There's no dust. There's no dust at all. Woo! He just checks out, and they're like, oh, they don't do like this so they can see him. Oh no, they just look. And then immediately after that, an angel comes down without any fanfare either. Says, "Well, what are you looking up for?" This same Jesus returned. I'm telling you, heaven's technology is way ahead of us. Yes. Oh, glory, glory, glory. We won't even talk about God's airplane, right? I'll give you a hint. It's called the Chariot of Fire. Mm-hmm. Elijah got a ride in it. Ooh, by the way, he travels at the speed of thought, not light. Thought. Just take it and you're there. My. Thank you, Lord. Have dominion. Subdue it. That's what it means. We are men with authority and dominion. Thank you, Lord. If we use it. We have a lake in our backyard. And I've already told that lake, you will never come anywhere near my house. I don't care if it rains 40 inches of water, you will never come near my house. I've already told you, but you can stay. Because I'm a man of authority. I realize I have authority in the name of Jesus. And that can be applied to wildfires. Amen. See, we start talking about things like that, and it sounds like, come on, Pastor, get real. How about you get Bible? Huh? How about you get Bible? We just read it. We didn't really read all of it, but we'll read it next week. Jesus stood up and told the winds and the waves to hush up. Mm-hmm. If he had only stopped there, we could say, well, yeah, but that was Jesus. You remember, do you not, that he rebuked the disciples and said, why are you so fearful? Where is your faith? Mm-hmm. In other words, why didn't you do what I just did? Which means they could have done it. They didn't, but they could have. Now, if that would work with waves and wind, do you suppose it would work with fire? Mm-hmm. By the way, the wind has been involved in blowing that fire certain places, has it not? What if a man of faith stood up and pointed that wind and said, you blow the other direction, back to where you came from? Dominion, authority, subdue it. Think of that word, subdue it. You subdue this earth, subdue it. Put it under your foot and keep it there. Because subdue is not what you do, it's not a one-time thing, is it? Huh? Subdue means you put your foot and you keep it there. Huh? It doesn't get out of the, no. You're subdued. Okay, time's up. We're not victims, folks. We're not victims. God hasn't left us here to be victims. He made us in His image, after His likeness. Oh, man. He wants us to act like Him. The Bible says to be imitators of our Father. Imitate Him. Imitate Jesus. That's why they call us Christians. Little Christ. Huh? That's you know, the words that have been used when His followers began to act like Him. You were first called Christians in Antioch because they were acting like He was had been acting just a few days ago. Got to get back to those days. Act like Him. Father, we thank You. We praise You. We bless You. That You haven't left us here as victims. Helpless. Without a prayer, like they say. Oh no. You have given us dominion. You have blessed us, empowered us to subdue this earth. To make it serve us. Thank You for revelation of this reality. Deep into our spirits, we're concerned. In our circumstances, we praise You, Father, and we bless You. In the name of Jesus. Amen, amen. Friend, do you know Jesus? He wants to be known by you. He wants to be acquainted. He wants to be your guide through life. He died for you. He wants to save you from yourself, really. Save you from this life. And so, folks have been praying for you. It's time to give your life to Jesus. You will never, ever regret it. I don't know anybody who's born again who says, well, you know, I wish I didn't do that. No. We always should press in further and live this life more fully, more committed. So you'll never have occasion to say, well, you know, I regret doing that. So do that today. Don't wait any further. There's no reason why. Why not today? Huh? Why not today? Say, Jesus, come into my heart. Be my Lord. Be my Savior. I receive You now as my Lord and my Savior. Thank You for dying for me, for taking my place in hell so I don't have to go there. I choose not to go there. I choose to go to heaven, to be with You. I choose to live on earth. The life of heaven. Lead me to a church that will teach me how to have a victorious Christian life. I receive my prayer language where I can communicate with You and shut the devil out. Thank You for doing it, Father. In the name of Jesus.
Everybody said?
Amen.
Amen, amen, amen. Well, it's better if you're here live. So if you're an hour within anywhere within the radius of an hour, come see us. If not, keep watching. We love you, and we'll see you next week. Amen, amen, amen. Glory to God. All right, let's go ahead and receive our as an offering, please, maybe. Oh, we finally delivered the and got a nice note from the folks about our thermals, and so let me just read a portion of this to you. Thank you for your donation of 98 thermal I was asking, you know, why was it 98 100, but they come in packages for that, you know, runs out. So I'm really thinking we should do more. This is the season for that, and maybe 50 more, you know, about $500 worth. So the Lord speaks to you, we'll do our part. If not, and we'll do our part, and then the rest of the funds will come from the church. But thank you for your donation of 98 new men's and women's demo sets for our clients on January 2025. Appreciate your church's support for our mission to empower people experiencing homelessness. Together we can offer whole person solutions to the whole person trauma of being unsheltered. Okay. And then it tells the story of Rhonda, who is 57, moved into what she calls the safest home she's ever been in. So they do other things besides give clothes. Okay. So that's just want to let you know that they appreciate what we're able to do. And so let's believe God and do more. Amen. I was talking earlier about overflow. This is what overflow is. Okay. That helped, I suppose, 98 people. Okay. If you had $10,000, right, that would be what? 1,000 thermal, is that? Is my math right? About $10 a piece. It's about 1,000. You can make 1,000 people warmer this winter. Wouldn't that be something? Wow. 1,000 people walking around warmer because of you. Oh man, I tell you. That's what prosperity is for, financial prosperity. That's why we want an overflow. I mean, after you bought the house of your dreams and you bought the car and this and that and the other, and you know, you don't want anything. There are people who could use your help, and that's God's plan. And so let's have that kind of a heart. We don't teach prosperity just so we can buy a bigger car, a bigger house, and so forth. That's a part of it, no doubt. I got my share. but that's just a part of it. The biggest part is being a place where you can help people. Yes. Amen. Yes. And when you finish helping all the people in the U.S., I can tell you there are places where they don't even have clean water. We have visions of sinking, you know, drinking wells, provide a well for a village of people where they can get clean water. Just, you know, the water is there. Just